You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Speak For Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. Coming up, I'll tell you what Aaron Donald's record-setting contract will mean for the Rams this season. But we begin today with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and Khalil Mack. Today, the Green Bay Press-Gazette laid out the case for the Packers acquiring Mack, the Pro Bowl pass rusher who is holding out of the Raiders training camp in a contract dispute. Pete Doherty wrote that Aaron Rodgers' new contract puts the Packers in position to pursue Mack, writing, quote, "You can look to the Packers' recent history to see them spend big on a quarterback and a defensive player at the same time. In a 10-day period in April 2013, they signed Rodgers and Clay Matthews to contract extensions. The Raiders have leaked that the price tag for landing Mack is 2 first-round picks. The Packers are the only team with 2 first-round picks next season. With Aaron Rodgers in his prime, it would be irresponsible for the Packers not to pursue Mack. He's perfect for Green Bay. Mack is a humble kid who became a college star at the University of Buffalo after no big schools recruited him. He's a star athlete who's unafraid to espouse his Christian faith. His dad was a deacon in a Southern church. His mom was a teacher. Why is that all important? Because we're talking about Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay is not a destination location for young black NFL superstars. There's no Magic City or King of Diamonds in Green Bay. Trust me, I've looked. Hip-hop superstars don't schedule tour stops in Green Bay. I'm not even sure Green Bay sells Hennessy VSOP. But that won't matter much to Mack. He's kind of the modern-day Minister of Defense. You remember Reggie White? He moved to Green Bay and helped Brett Favre win a Super Bowl. You also probably remember Charles Woodson. Late in his career, when he was a settled-down family man, he moved to Green Bay, loved it, and helped Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl. Khalil Mack is the perfect complement to Aaron Rodgers. With Mack, Green Bay would be a Super Bowl-caliber team. The Packers would be stupid not to go after Khalil Mack. All right, joining me now, former NFL head coach Rob Ryan, former NFL player and NFL scout Bucky Brooks, and former Pro Bowl wide receiver T.J. Housmanzada. All right, guys, tell me, I think it would be criminal if the Packers didn't make a humongous push to get Khalil Mack. He's exactly what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers need.
He's a perfect fit in that city. Having spent 3 years playing in Green Bay, everything that you say about the town being a blue-collar town is right on point. I was there when Reggie White came over. I was there and saw the impact that he had. Khalil Mack could have a similar impact. This is a team that on defense has not had a marquee player that can step up and get them to greater heights. Khalil Mack would do that. And for the asking price, 2 first-round picks, the Green Bay Packers are sitting there with 2 first-round picks later in the first round. I think they should make the move, sign Khalil Mack. You now have the nucleus for a long-running Super Bowl title run.
I'll tell you what, you made some great points early, and
The NFC VSOP?
Yes, it is. Those are great points. But really, you know, when you bring in a Reggie White and the Charles Woodson, it's history all over again. It's deja vu all over again. And this really would make sense. What a great front four it would have. Clay Matthews and Mack on the sides with Daniels and Mo Wilkerson pushing the pocket. There wouldn't be a better front four in football than that one. And look,
Rams may have something to say about that.
Well, but those double edges, they wouldn't have the edges. Yeah. That, you know, they lost Quinn. So, I mean, it makes sense here. Two number ones. Look, it's been done before when that was the cost to do business for Wilbur Marshall when he left the Bears to go to Washington, and it worked out for them as well. So I don't think the asking price is too tall for a guy like this, and it'd be interesting. I think something may happen. I really do.
I guess I'm the only one that I'm the odd man out here. I'm not giving up 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack. Not 2 first-round. I'm just not doing it. You give up 2 first-round picks and the type of contract that you have to hand him, I think that's a bit much for a guy that you just don't know. Number one, he's going to switch defenses. He's going to be in a 3-4 type of defense that Green Bay runs. Or matter of fact, no, they switched to a 4-3 with Mike Pettine. But I'm not giving up 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack. I'm not doing it. Now, if I can give up a 1st and a 2nd, a 1st and a 3rd, if they would take that, I'm not giving up my 2 first-round picks because he's a young player, but you mortgage your future, so to speak, by giving up all that to get one player. I'm not doing it.
One player can make the entire difference on a defense like that and on a team like that. Look, we're not talking about a Pro Bowl player. We're talking about a Defensive Player of the Year candidate every time he steps out onto the field in a league where if you can't touch the quarterback, it's damn near impossible to stop an offense. I just think when a guy is that valuable, that good, and he fits your culture and that city, it's hard for Green Bay to get superstar players.
If Khalil Mack is dead set on, I'm not coming till I get this contract, Green Bay will be able to give a 1 and a 2 and get him. If he starts to sit out games, the Raiders going to have to do something. You're not just going to have your best defensive player parked on a sideline and you're losing games to start the season. I just don't see it happen. I'm not giving up 2 first-round picks.
How much is that first-round pick?
I mean you would assume Green Bay is going to have a good year. That's going to be a late
first-rounder.
Yeah, you're talking about in the 20s. In the 20s, you're talking about guys that may be starters but not impact players. If you're talking about a top 10 pick, you're talking about guys that should be perennial Pro Bowl players.
Now, Bucky,
think about this, though. Is
what kind of contract is he going to want now seeing what Aaron Donald has?
Oh, yeah, but he can't get more than Aaron Donald. He'll get
coming
in
close
million.
To that is outrageous.
He'll get in the 20 million range. But look, let's be honest. You have to build your team. Brian Gutekunst, the new general manager, knows he has to build his team to win a division. In that division, all quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, and even Mitch Trubisky. You need to make sure that you have a pass rush that can affect the quarterback. The best way to do it is go get one of
now,
the best.
Now, let's be honest. Wait, Clay Matthew, I believe his contract runs out in a year or two. You pay Khalil Mack $20 million a year, you're going to have to give Clay Matthews some of that, too.
No.
Oh, you don't have to give Clay Matthews.
No, you
move on. You can move on from Clay Matthews.
You can move on from Clay Matthews. And the other thing, when you start drafting in the 20s and 30s in the first round, there's no guarantees at all. And a Khalil Mack is a proven commodity.
He's a proven commodity, but when you got to give him over $100 million, I just don't know if you do that.
But remember, Brian Gutekunst said it's a new way of doing business in Green Bay. They're no longer afraid to delve in the free agent market, the trade market. They committed big money to Aaron Rodgers. I think they would be fine committing big money to Khalil Mack to upgrade their team.
All right, to a guy whose holdout is finally over, Aaron Donald, who agreed to a new 6-year, $135 million contract extension with the Rams. The deal includes $87 million in guarantees and about $40 million today, and sets a new record for defensive players with an average salary of $22.5 million per year. Let me first applaud the Rams and Aaron Donald. To me, this deal makes sense. Aaron Donald, to me, is the best football player in football. The best football player. He's better, and to me, as a football player, he's better to me than Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, any of the damn quarterbacks. Applaud them for giving. He deserves it. I think he's going to earn it. I think this guy wants to be an all-time great football player. I don't think his play will be affected. Having said all that, there's too many happy guys in the Rams locker room for me. Way too many. Everything has been settled. Everybody got paid. Everybody is happy and content. I think the Rams are going to be a disappointment because there's too many happy people.
Too many happy guys.
In their locker room.
You
need
happy.
That tension
you don't want to get paid.
In that locker room.
Hey, I love this move. I love what the Rams have done the entire offseason. And this is how you manipulate having a rookie quarterback on a small deal. Jared Goff is playing on a team-friendly deal. You make the push right now before you have to re-up and pay him $25, $30 million annually. The way they have these deals constructed, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, Aaron Donald, and Jared Goff, they will all be the core players. Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Dominican Sue, they may be short-term rentals, but in the meantime, they can win a bunch of games. They're going to be a force in the NFC. Offense and defense, they are lights out. They only need to find an outside edge rusher.
NFL that's the dream only holding teams don't work. The NFL dream teams don't work. Don't like it.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the one thing. It'll be interesting to see because on paper, this team wins it. There's no question. But the game's not played on paper, as we know. And it'll be interesting to see when adversity hits this football team, especially on their defense. They have Wade Phillips, who's got to be the happiest guy in the world.
Oh,
he's got them all.
He ain't happier than Aaron Donald.
He's handpicked. Yeah, well, maybe. But he's handpicked those corners. He's got the pass rushers now. You got Sue and Donald
inside.
And everybody's forgetting about Brockers. I mean, that's ridiculous.
All that new money in one locker room in Los Angeles is a recipe for.
You're right. The greatest show on turf got beat by the Patriots. Yeah. Thank you. And we had the best team. That's all.
I don't mind. I like the move. If you're a self-motivated person, which 99% of the guys in the league are, they've given out $211 million in guaranteed money. Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, and Dominican Sue, Brandon Cooks, and Havenstein, offensive guard. If I'm a free agent, I'm trying to get to the Rams.
Trying to get to
like
LA.
They have shown they are not afraid to pay you.
It's like the Showtime
number
Lakers.
Number one, you get to
it's
come
like the
in
Showtime
LA
Lakers.
With this weather.
The NBA is a whole different animal than the NFL.
The Rams are going to be
LA.
A really good team for so many years to come. And you're going to get pressure up the middle. That's how you affect the quarterback is pressure up the middle. You got two of the better ball hawk corners in Talib and Marcus Peters. On paper,
we got a new stadium.
It's almost impossible.
It's about to be popping in Inglewood.
Let me tell you who's the happiest, who's happier than Wade Phillips, who's happier than Aaron Donald. Trust me, who's looking at all these contracts and already
Jared
knew.
Goff.
No, already knew there was $200 million floating around the Lambs locker room. The Kardashians.
Get out of here.
We're leaving the NBA, and we're headed to the NFL.
Oh, my God.
That's who's happy. I'm saying that as a joke, but I'm telling you, if you don't think there's some women around LA, it's like, oh, my God, what's going on out there with the Rams? I can't wait to get out there post-game, during the game, whatever. Too much happiness in the NFL. Too many guys in that locker room with all this brand new money. Bucky, I saw it with the 98 Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, I was.
They brought in everybody. Yeah. It was the dream team, and I thought they was going 16-0, and they signed everybody. And and it blows up in your face.
It's impossible to have a bad year defense. It's unless one of these guys gets hurt. It's impossible. It's virtually impossible.
I mean, on paper, like, not even on paper, the way they're constructed to be problematic for everyone. Offensively, Ty Gurley is a guy that starts with, but then adding Brandon Cooks gives them another dimension on offense, and then defensively with Wade Phillips and what he wants
even
to do.
Even Joyner at safety,
simple
he's a good
system.
Player.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of good players. I've never seen a team that can struggle. I never heard a coach say, I can't have enough good players. I have too many good players. You want to have all those guys at your disposal.
Keith Lead and Marcus Peters, you can have too many headache players.
They dogs. No, you got to have some dogs.
And Dominican Sue, headache player.
I think they're misunderstood.
This, to me, is arrogance from Sean McVay. And I'm not trying to knock him. He's a young coach, had a lot of success. And then you throw in Wade Phillips. And then you start believing, man, I can coach anybody. I can take Jason Whitlock. Fat, 50 years old, and I can turn him into a player. That's what's – they can coach any
Wade
headache
Phillips
in the NFL.
Wade Phillips has had Talib, so they're going to relate. He's had him.
Has he ever had Talib paired with Marcus Peters?
Oh, man, I like that. I love that combination. Two dogs. You want to have two feisty ball hawks?
Good.
Can't get better than that.
Kaepernicks are happier and will be happier. I mean, the Kardashians are happier about all of this. All right, welcome back. Bucky Brooks, TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. We're joined now by the founder of The Big Lead, Jason McIntyre. Let's move to Colin Kaepernick, who just won a minor victory in his collusion grievance against the NFL with an arbitrator denying the league's request for a summary judgment that would have dismissed Kaepernick's case. The ruling means the grievance will now move forward to trial, and some bookmakers are actually taking bets on whether the league will settle with Kaepernick out of court. And I actually think that would be the smart thing to do. The NFL needs to put this controversy behind them. I believe that Colin Kaepernick, it's always been about money with him this entire
ordeal the last two or three years. It's always been about a check at the end of the day. I say cut him that check, move on from the Kaepernick controversy. I think for a moment it'll be celebrated all over Twitter. Oh my God, Kaepernick won. But I think in the real world, no one will care and they'll just be glad they don't have to talk about Kaepernick anymore. I think cutting the guy a check and moving on from him is a possible way to move beyond the national anthem controversy.
I think it would be smart for the league to do that. I think it would be smart to have the settlement and allow it to go away. I think for Colin Kaepernick, I think the challenge would be, are you really in this for the money? Are you in this for the bigger picture? Because if he's in this for the bigger picture, how about you think about him taking a $1 settlement if the owners acknowledge that they colluded to conspire to keep him out the league? If it's really about that, then make it be like that.
What does he get out of that?
I'm just saying.
What are the odds the owners do that, huh?
Oh, no, they would love that.
Let's see what it's going to be.
He gets nothing out of that. He, number one, the owners aren't, they're not settling at all.
No chance.
Man, this is really going, this is going to get continued and continued. It will not be talked about much. This will be continued for 5, 6, 7 years. They have so much money, they're just going to continue it in a system. And this will never end. And eventually, Colin Kaepernick will, he's not playing. It's not like Brady or Ezekiel Elliott where it's like, okay, I've had enough. I'm done fighting. He's not playing. If the league was smart, they'd give him, he was supposed to make $16 million, I believe, that last year. Give him $30, $35 million, pay his attorney fees. And like you said, it'd be over with. The NFL is a bunch of billionaire owners. They're not going to admit that they did this, and all this will go on for years and years and years as long as he wants to fight.
But this idea that it's going to be a big story during the season, here's where I push back. Last year, a lot of the star quarterbacks were injured. Andrew Luck's down. Deshaun Watson's down. Aaron Rodgers goes out. And you had all these bad backup quarterbacks. So you had the guys on social media watching the game saying, man, Kaepernick's better than Tom Savage. Kaepernick's better than this bum. You know, there are a lot of bad quarterbacks. All the healthy quarterbacks are going to be starting this year. There's a big group of quality quarterbacks in this league right now that I don't think people are going to be watching the games and jump on social media and say, man, Kaepernick should be out here. He's better than Jimmy G. No, that's not the case.
Are you kidding me?
Who are the bad quarterbacks in the league?
It's not about the bad quarterbacks. It's about none of this is that none of this narrative has ever been about the truth. And so, again, people have known for a long time why Kaepernick's not in the league. He has the talent to play. But he's been a distraction, and he's caused a controversy that has hurt the league, and therefore he's not worth it. Everybody that was doing those tweets and making that argument, they knew that was bogus and BS. They knew why the guy's out of the league.
See, the longer Kaepernick's out the league, the longer he's out the league, the less that will happen. Oh, Kaepernick. It won't happen this year because he's been out of the league so long now. This will be his third year out. Nobody's going to say, oh, Colin Kaepernick should be playing. He's been out 2 years now. They know it's not going to happen now.
There are some current players that will continue to say, hey, we're not settling this national anthem controversy until Colin has a job. Colin has done a remarkable job of making himself a huge martyr. Yesterday, I did a podcast interview with one of these young woke media personalities, and he's just irate with me about my position on Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick to him is the equivalent of Martin Luther King to this guy. And anybody that offers any criticism of Colin Kaepernick, this guy thinks it's a betrayal of the country, my race, the whole nine yards. And so there are some guys in the NFL that feel that same way and want to be the guys. I think by not cutting him a check and moving him, you know, give him his money, I think you're empowering some current NFL players to still talk about, we're not giving up on the national anthem thing until Colin Kaepernick gets some justice.
And for that is why I think the league needs to settle. If they want everything to disappear, cut him a check.
Wait, Bucky, you just said disappear. You think everything goes away if they cut him a check?
Oh, I think so. I think it begins to go into the back pages because if you get him out of the limelight, I think the conversation now goes away from the national anthem and all the other stuff. Because if they settle, then they admit to colluding.
No.
Then the players can.
But also,
they can settle without admitting guilt.
But they cut a check. I think the assumption would be, okay, the league admitted that.
Right.
You said out of the limelight, and he's not going anywhere. These guys are still on social media.
He's still going to be on social.
They can go on radio shows and TV shows and push their agenda.
But Jason, I think the point is, look, let's say they cut him a check for $25 million bucks, and there's going to be a non-disclosure agreement. There's never going to be an admittance that we colluded. That what there's going to be is like, this was a business deal. We want Colin Kaepernick and the national anthem controversy to go away. Colin, here's what it's worth to us. We'll give you 25, 30 million bucks.
Man, they got to at least give him 32, a million per owner, pay my attorney fees.
Whatever, 30 million, whatever. Then I think any players, a Malcolm Jenkins, Michael Bitt, whoever has been like, oh, it's unfair what's happened to Kaepernick. They'll be like, no, man. He just got $30 million for sitting on his rear end. He probably wasn't going to earn that much more because he was going to be a backup in the NFL moving forward. I think it takes a lot of the air out of the balloon that somehow Colin Kaepernick
Or does it empower other players to say, wow,
that's a possibility.
Kaepernick got $30 million for sitting on his butt.
That's a possibility.
When's Eric Reed going to bring his lawsuit and say, hey, I'm in my prime?
But I think Eric Reed has had offers to play.
Yeah. He said offers to play.
He's been flown in for workouts and the like, and it didn't work out. I think for Cap, if the league is serious about going into the 2018 season without this being an issue, cut the check, settle it, and move on. Because then I think you do take the air out of the players who were protesting or doing anything. Like, at some point, everything goes to the back pages, and it then becomes a refocus on football.
I'm not so sure they care that much to where it's an issue.
They want the issue to go away.
We can continue this for 5 or 6 years if we want through the court system and drag it on as long as we like.
All right, welcome back. Rob Ryan, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Jacksonville, where Jalen Ramsey is still talking trash. Just a few weeks after calling out pretty much every quarterback in the league, Ramsey now says that tight end Rob Gronkowski isn't all that good and that he'd never play for the Cowboys because Jerry Jones picked Ezekiel Elliott ahead of him. The rant prompted a strong reaction from Hall of Famer Tony Dungy, who tweeted, "I hope one of Jalen Ramsey's coaches or teammates tells him that he is a player and not a broadcaster at this point in his career. He's a great player. He needs to concentrate on his job and leave the analysis of other players to the media." I agree with this. I think Jalen Ramsey is just trying way too hard. Look at this list that we have here of all the people Jalen Ramsey has attacked this offseason. It damn near everybody in the league. It's just, I don't think it's authentic. I think it's inauthentic. He's clearly decided, I want to make my brand bigger off the field, and I'm going to do it through attack by attacking every player in the league. This is, you know, he played at Florida State. It's like Deion Sanders got all the attention with his play and by promoting Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey's got great play. Why not promote Jalen Ramsey? Why does it have to be an attack? Why do you got to step on everyone's back to lift yourself up?
Now, we've seen this playbook. Richard Sherman, Josh Norman. They became big ticket box office stars because they talked a lot and they backed it up. Jalen Ramsey is an all-pro player. Jalen Ramsey can lock down and do things on the field that you love to see at the cornerback position. He is talking more because at cornerback, it is hard to get recognition when all the pass catchers are getting recognition because of their flashy ways. You have to find a way to draw attention to yourself to get the endorsements and some of the other stuff. He is offering up his opinion. It has put a bullseye on his back. If he plays well, though, he's going to parlay that into big money off the field.
Where's the Tom Coughlin coming in here and just snatching this guy up by the collar?
Nah, it makes no sense.
I mean, this is supposed to be the big disciplinary and all that. I never heard a guy talk like this. I mean, this is unbelievable with a Coughlin group. I know, OBJ, you know, talks and, you know, stuff, but he was doing it on the field. This is off the field, which is crazy. This guy's a super talented kid, you know, but it makes no sense. I don't think he's seen half of these people on the list, you know, when he's evaluating them, you know, like, oh, this guy's a sorry quarterback. This guy can't play dead. I love the clip where he's in cover five. Well, I could trail in cover five, too. Yeah, go out there and cover that big sucker yourself and see what happens.
So when he says cover five, that's two man. He got safety help over the top.
I can cover that.
For me, I like it because I like to talk. Now, I get where Tony Dungy is coming from because he's from the old school, just kind of let your play. I'm not going to say he's doing it for attention because I don't know him. He's speaking as if that's how he feels, then I'm okay. If this is how you truly feel and Danny Amendola sucks and Rob Gronkowski is good, but he's not as good as everybody, I'm okay with it. As long as when you go against those guys, you dominate them, I have no problem with it at all.
Here's what I liked about when Richard Sherman was at the peak of his powers and when he talked. A lot of it had to do with what he had just did on the field. Mm. His biggest moment was causing that interception that sent them to the Super Bowl. And literally, his thoughts after that game mirrored mine. I was like, because I, at that time, believe it
against
or not.
Against Crabtree.
Yeah. That time, I was a huge Colin Kaepernick fan, believe it or not. I thought he was going to be the next John Elway. And my immediate thought was like, why in the hell did you just throw at Richard Sherman in that situation? Right. And so when Richard Sherman got to his post-game interview, that's what he was thinking. Like, you coming at
me? You tried me.
With the game? You tried me? And so it just seemed more authentic coming from Richard Sherman. This seems calculated.
See, I just like the fact that we ask a question, we get an honest. I thought you would appreciate that.
I don't think it's honest.
I actually think it's honest. There have been times where we've sat in the locker room, TJ, and we've heard people praise players as pro players, like, that guy's not that good.
In a locker room, that goes on a lot.
So I appreciate him revealing what he really thinks. Now, he obviously has to back that up. But look, we want honesty. We want our athletes to talk and have their opinions. Well, let him have his opinion. Now he has to own it when he plays.
Richard Sherman was on a national stage and they won the game.
Yeah.
If he gets in this situation and dominates somebody and make, I'm sure in the locker room afterwards or on the field, you will get these same quotes. Me personally, I love it. I like that because he's showing he has ultimate confidence in himself, and that's how it should be.
I love talking, and I like players that talk and all that stuff, but. They did give up 500 yards to the Steelers, lucky to win that game, and then had a fourth quarter collapse to this sorry receiver, Amendola, for two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Like, what is he talking about? This kid dominated them to go to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't like these comments about it.
All receivers aren't created equal. Like, in talking about Danny Amendola, I don't know if anyone of us up here would say that Danny Amendola says a tier one receiver.
No, he's not.
I think when he's talking about it,
he's a good, but
if you dig deeper in the quote, he said Tom Brady makes a lot of guys really, really good. And in essence, he said Tom Brady created Danny Amendola.
I don't have any doubt about that. Here's one that I think no one can, it's inauthentic. Rookie quarterback coming into the league, Josh Allen.
There you go.
Who played at Wyoming. Jalen Ramsey's never seen him play.
No way.
He's not watching Wyoming tape. He's never seen him play.
Honestly, I think that came from the tweets that surfaced that Josh Allen had put out. I think that was a little collateral from the tweets that had surfaced prior to the draft. Mm. That's where I believe that came from.
Oh, and if so, I'm sure.
Because why he's the only rookie on the list, I believe that was a little collateral damage because of that.
I think it's collateral damage from groupthink. Everybody in the media was criticizing Josh Allen, Mel Kiper, and everybody, or I don't know if it was Mel Kiper, but a lot of scouts were, a lot of people on TV criticized. And so he just fell right in line with everybody else. Let's take a pot shot at Josh Allen. Look, Jalen Ramsey, as much as he runs his mouth, anything Josh Allen said he was a kid, Jalen Ramsey said too, or something just as stupid. So if that's what he's doing, if it's collateral damage from that, good luck with that, Jalen. All right, to San Francisco, where Jimmy Garoppolo just signed an endorsement deal with the Jordan brand, which the Chicago area native says was a dream come true. Garoppolo fulfilled another lifelong dream earlier this summer, going out on a date with a porn star, which ended up being caught on tape by TMZ. When this thing happened with Garoppolo and the porn star, I argued on this show that it may hurt him endorsement-wise. That now that we know Jimmy G is Jimmy the Freak or Jimmy G String, I just was wondering if, like, brands would want to be associated with him. Clearly, I was wrong. The Jordan brand and people are sticking with him. He's got some other endorsement deals, and no one's backed away from him. So, to me, this is a huge bet that Jimmy G is going to back up being Jimmy the Freak by being Jimmy the Freak on the field as well. And so the brands are betting that Jimmy G is going to back this up by his talent and play is going to trump the fact that he's got a freaky side that we know about.
Yeah, I think that's what it's absolutely going to do. I think the big thing for Jimmy Garoppolo is the magic that he displayed at the end of the season. Being able to lead his team on a 5-game run where, look, you talk about a team that couldn't win games without him. He was the single most important factor in making that team change. And so The 49ers play a bunch of primetime games. Jordan wants to make sure that everyone sees a great quarterback and his brand. If they win, like some of us are expecting them to do, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a nice investment for the Jordan brand.
Yeah, I mean, I think this kid's got a lot going for him. I mean, obviously, he's a fantastic talent. He's a smart kid. He hasn't lost as a starter. I mean, he's got that going for him.
Well, can we just inject? We know the Ryans have a freaky side, too. So,
yeah, maybe that's why I like him.
You know, it's a date, man. Like, who you date is not indicative of who you are. It's a date. Now, who you marry and who you end up being with, yes, but a date, he's just having fun. It could be one night. Now, if he's still with her, that's a different
TJ,
story. It's a date.
I understand that, but that's an indicator. Who you date is an indicator.
No, who you go out on a date with. Now, who you date is different to who you go out on a date with. You see, I mean, it's two different, you see how I did that, okay? So going out on a date with somebody and who you date is completely different. So I don't, he's young. He's rich, he's nice looking, he's having fun. I'm glad for him, I'm happy for him.
Listen, I'm rooting for Jimmy G. But again, he has put a bullseye on his back. And I think Bucky's point about the Jordan brand and these other guys realizing how much they're gonna be on national TV. And again, if he hits, it's gonna be a mammoth home run.
He's with one of the better franchises in the history of the NFL. So if he plays well, it's crazy. It's going to
be
crazy.
It'll be a mammoth home run. But it also could be a swing and a miss. He didn't have the greatest preseason. And I think there is something to, and I said this at the time, and I'm not trying to make too much of it. Like, again, who you go out on a date with is a bit of an indicator in terms of, do you like a little chaos in your life? That's what I think I see from Jimmy G in terms of particularly going out in public in Beverly Hills. You know, this is paparazzi zone, TMZ zone. Jimmy G likes a little chaos in his life. And sometimes I don't want a quarterback that wants that kind of chaos.
But you know where there's no chaos is on the field. Between the lines, this guy is legit. He's a student of the game. He's learned from great coaches. And now he gets to finally show that he belongs as a superstar in this league. And I think he will. And I think they're getting the endorsement right now. They're getting on the right guy. This kid's got everything. He's going to put, butts in the seats in the stadium. He's gonna get endorsements, and they're just going to keep coming in if he keeps winning. He makes a mistake, dates somebody, okay. Everybody does that. Look at it this way, though.
He took her out in public, so he wasn't hiding anything.
Well, actually, I mean, that's the thing. He took her out. He didn't hide anything.
Yeah, he took her out in public.
In Beverly Hills, one of the hottest spots.
Exactly.
Here I am. I mean, look, it's a different time. Guys are letting people know exactly how they feel, who they are. Jimmy G put a little more pressure on himself, but I think he'll live up to it.
Rob, I just want to say this. If Rex gives you any flack for my comment, tell him I've got a freaky side. Punch me into Google, and you'll see it for yourself.
Where's that Twitter thing? I need to hit you with it because we are different brothers.
All right, welcome back. Rob Ryan, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Bucky Brooks are back. We just heard my take on LeBron's The Shop. And while my new co-host, Marcellus Wiley, isn't even here yet, he's already coming after me about it, tweeting, quote, Jason Whitlock should know actions speak louder than words. Enjoy these uncontested shock jock rants before I start because they won't fly on my watch. Look, Marcellus, if you're watching, I get challenged every day on this show. It is my superior intellect, wit, and everything that is the reason why there's really no pushback to anything I say, because everybody pretty much agrees I'm right. And so, Marcellus, it's great to hear you talking over Twitter. But I got a big can of Twitter off, a much bigger can, because you're a bigger guy, for you. And the first thing we're going to do when Marcellus gets here is spray him down with Twitter off, because he can't match me intellectually.
I mean, talking about Ivy Grad.
I went to Columbia.
An Ivy Grad.
I went to Ball State University with real people and was a scholar, was basically a Rhodes Scholar. I would have been a Rhodes Scholar at Ball State if not for, some discrimination.
What was your GPA?
Wait a second.
You recall or no?
I can't remember.
Can I go back? I mean, that is just ridiculous. How about being, you speaking about freaks now. Yeah. I've been happily married forever with my beautiful wife.
I wasn't talking about
but
you, Rob.
Whitlock, out of nowhere, ooh, like, look at these pictures. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Like, now, that's a freak. Oh. Now, I don't care what his grade point is.
That's Photoshop.
That's for all that. Is
that's not Photoshop.
That is a freak.
That's something.
And I'll tell you what, Wiley is going to put a knot on your head a Boy Scout couldn't untie. He is going to hit you with so many combinations you think you're a safe.
Need some Twitter off on that.
Let me, honest to goodness, Marcel's will get treated the same as the rest of you all.
Oh, great.
The same way I put y'all in
y'all's. He's going to win a lot of battles.
Poor guy.
He's going to win a lot of battles.
Poor guy.
The same way I put y'all in y'all's place and y'all sit. See, everybody talks big on the show. As soon as the show's over, these guys all come by my dressing room. Man, you were brilliant. I learned so much.
I get your autograph.
I learned so much from you. I can't wait to give Marcella some of the same teaching. All right, let's move to college football, where Jim Harbaugh and number 14 Michigan kick off their season Saturday at number 12 Notre Dame. After a disappointing season last year, Jim Harbaugh's had a much quieter summer than usual, and now the Detroit Free Press says it's time for the coach to justify all the hype. I'm glad that the Detroit Free Press and the rest of the media are finally catching up with me and where I've been with Jim Harbaugh the entire time. I've been very clear on this. People try to take me out of context. I think Jim Harbaugh is a potentially great college coach and a potentially great coach at Michigan. He just hasn't proven it yet. And so me, as a Michigan fan, and I know people get tired of hearing me say that because I'm a Michigan fan, it goes back further than just Brady Hoke, who was a Ball State grad who happened to be the head coach. My college coach was a longtime Michigan assistant. Our entire program based off of Michigan's program and what Bo Schembechler did. I like Michigan. Worked in Ann Arbor. Covered the teams. Jim Harbaugh better win this game this Saturday. I am tired of him getting up against these big-time rivals. And again, he hasn't coached against Notre Dame. This will be the first time, his first opportunity. But I'm tired. I see it against Ohio State. I see it against Michigan State. There's always, he figures out a way to lose these games. He'll have the best quarterback, perhaps in college football this year. He'll definitely have the best quarterback on Saturday. He better beat Notre Dame this weekend, or this season has gotten off to a horrible start.
Well, I mean, I can't dispute that. No excuses for Jim Harbaugh anymore. He has a quarterback in Shea Patterson. He has a talented defense. Don Brown has those guys playing on defense. Offensively, they got skilled guys out the wazoo. He's 4-7 in big games against the notable franchises. Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State. That's not good enough. Notre Dame is a big game. Rivalry rekindling since 2014. It is time for him to get it done. He has to win this game to kind of squash some of the talk. Namely, led by you.
I think he actually will. He's finally got a quarterback. I mean, I saw this kid play in high school in Louisiana. He's the real deal. Big kid. He's going to be perfect for this offense. And look, Harbaugh, he's going to get these guys motivated to play. He's finally got enough talent to do something on offense. Like you said, that Don Brown's done an amazing job on defense. I think this is the year for this team to take off and really challenge for a national championship.
All in agreement. I'm a fan of both Harbaughs. I just believe they do a great job coaching. You go through Harbaugh's career at University of San Diego in 2.5 seasons. He started 2-4 and he finished 27-2. He went to Stanford, turned that team around, that program around. He went to the 49ers, 2 NFC championship games and a Super Bowl. It takes time, and you can't win without players in college football. You have to get good players, and it takes time. He has players, but you don't have a quarterback that can win the big games. Every game he's gone against a really good team, he's had the weaker quarterback. Every game. Every game he's played against Ohio State, Penn State, he's had the weaker quarterback. He didn't have the better quarterback. He has a really good defense. He has a really good core group of guys coming back. I really expect Michigan to win this game tomorrow.
I think there's something about Harbaugh and some coaches that, again, he may have peaked. And if I don't see the results this year, that's where I'm going to go. It's not going to be that he wasn't a great coach. It's just that he may have peaked. Harbaugh has a weird tick to his personality. He's a bit of an odd duck, far more so than I think than John Harbaugh. And so when I watch him and his interactions with the media, when I saw all that blustery, egomaniacal, hey, look at me stuff he was doing the first two or three years in Michigan, I was like, what is this? It didn't make sense to me. And I'm glad he toned it down and we've seen less of it. But he came into college football, back into college football. He's going to reinvent. He dominates the summer. He's this, he's that. He's changed. And none of it worked out. So I'm at a point where this year is a make or break. This game to me is the beginning of that make or break. Because if I don't get the results this year, I'm like, this dude peaked.
You know what's crazy is Notre Dame has high expectations too. And
sure.
The same thing with Harbaugh. Their coach is on a hot seat as well. Like, it's going to be what Brian Kelly needs to win this game. He needs to win.
Not like Harbaugh.
He needs to. They haven't
Brian
won.
Brian Kelly's been in the playoffs.
This is a huge game. Huge game for Michigan.
And for
Michigan
both teams, it's
desperate.
And Shea Patterson is a good quarterback, but he's not the greatest quarterback in the world.
No, no,
it
no.
wasn't like Ole Miss was one of the better teams in the country with him at quarterback.
Shea Patterson could be the number one overall pick.
Oh, he's talented.
No.
Yeah.
Then why wasn't he winning games at Ole Miss?
He's at Ole Miss, and he's in the SEC, and Nick Saban, and, you know, the SEC ain't no joke. He was young. Shea Patterson's a very talented
best quarterback that he has had since Andrew Luck. This will give him an opportunity.
That's not saying much.
Well, it is saying something. That's what he has. That's what he's dealing with at Michigan.
It gives him
an opportunity.
Andrew Luck, who has he had a quarterback?
I don't know. A bunch of guys that weren't as good.
Wilson Spate, who's now starting at UCLA for Chip Kelly, and if Wilson Spate performs
at
UCLA.
That means UCLA going to get parked a lot this year.
Wilton Spate, I'm sorry. Look. If Chip Kelly gets more out of Spate than Harbaugh did, that'll be another bad look. But I saw Shea Patterson with my own eyes at summer camp. Got to look at him for a couple of days. Shea Patterson's the real deal. That ball comes out of this kid's hands beautifully.
And what's in between his ears? You can't tell.
He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker.
I tell you what, I saw that kid in high school, and he was a man with a bunch of boys. I like this kid a lot, and I think he's going to get a pro-style offense. You know, where Luck succeeded in. I think this guy will be great for Harbaugh. And I agree. I look for Harbaugh to win this one, and hopefully he has it.
All right, welcome back. Bucky Brooks is here for Last Call. Let's move to Baltimore, where Joe Flacco says he's fine with the Ravens' decision to draft Lamar Jackson, saying, quote, honestly, did not bother me. Bucky, you buying this?
Yeah, I'm buying it to a point. I believe everyone is bothered when they put someone in your seat. They put someone in the room to challenge you. He obviously knew that the Baltimore Ravens were challenging him by bringing Lamar Jackson in. I think he's responding in splendid fashion.
I buy it because I think he later went on to say he's motivated by it, but he's not bothered by it. And I can buy that. You can be motivated and be like, okay, they're saying I'm not playing good enough. They took a guy, but he has so much confidence in himself. And I think he understands that Lamar Jackson is a couple, two or three years away from being ready, that he's motivated, not bothered. All right, to Cleveland, where Baker Mayfield looked sharp in the Browns preseason finale last night. Even still, Hugh Jackson made it crystal clear to Rod Taylor as the starter. Bucky, should the number one overall pick be the week one starter for the Cleveland Browns?
No, not in this situation. He's playing behind a Pro Bowl quarterback, a guy that Tyrod Taylor went to a Pro Bowl.
They signed a Pro Bowl quarterback?
Two-time Pro Bowl quarterback. And he just led the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs. So why is the rush? There's no rush to put Baker Mayfield on the field. I believe you roll with Tyrod until about the middle of the season, then maybe you get Baker.
Which Pro Bowl was this in?
And he's been to two.
How many quarterbacks got injured for him to get in?
I mean, I don't know. He's been in. Once you go in, you always call it a Pro Bowler.
Marcellus will be here Tuesday. We'll get to the bottom of this Pro Bowl situation with Tyrod Taylor.